This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 2nd, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 184. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. The BC Liberals' former gambling, housing, and liquor minister, Rich Coleman, finally appeared at the Cullen Commission on Money Laundering. Here are highlights of Rich Coleman's testimony at the public inquiry. But first, Is It Just Me? Is it just me, or does Mayor Kennedy Stewart need to stop being a decaf mayor when Vancouver needs a leader to espresso some emotion? Kennedy Stewart declared after just a year in office that he would seek re-election in 2022. His years in office have been among the most chaotic in Vancouver history due to the pandemic and the economic collapse, crime and social disorder driven by the opioid crisis and homelessness have run rampant. Last week, the political science professor began a new strategy of Zoom news conferences from his False Creek North condo every 2 weeks. It included this message.
It's a reminder to those who think the rules don't apply to them. When we all act together and listen to the health orders and follow the health orders, we can bend the curve. So my message to the anti-maskers and those spraying graffiti, those who are protesting against the health orders, is stop it and just join the rest of us. That's what we have to do here is all stick together. We all have to follow the health orders. We have to bend that curve down until our vaccination curve goes up.
Having a boring mayor is not a bad thing after the previous style and no substance administration of Gregor Robertson. But come on, Mayor Stewart, show some passion. You know your opponents will be calling you soft on crime and disconnected from the reality of average Vancouverites as the election approaches. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In Apple Daily, reshuffle of Shenzhen officials linked to property speculation. Chen Huizhang was appointed acting mayor of Shenzhen this week after the resignation of Chen Yugui. Along with Chen, 17 other officials have also been replaced, Radio Free Asia reported. A group on social media platform Weibo garnered attention from mainland media recently for giving property speculation tips to its 1.5 million followers. The group shared tips on topics such as how to circumvent Shenzhen's strict home purchase quota limits through fraudulent marriages and the use of other people's identities. In the Taiwan news, former Japanese Prime Minister shows off box of Taiwan pineapples online. Following China's unexpected import ban on March 1st, sales of Taiwanese pineapples have surged in Japan despite their relatively high price. In addition to being carried by local retailers such as 7-Eleven, the fruit has also received extensive coverage by Japanese media. In a tweet on Wednesday morning, Shinzo Abe shared a photo of a box of Taiwanese pineapples with the caption, "Pineapples for dessert today, they look very delicious." In the New Zealand Herald, Mexican cocaine cartel. Filthy few gang members included in arrests after police customs raids. 8 people have been arrested after a joint police and customs operation allegedly disrupted plans to import hundreds of kilograms of cocaine into the country via a Mexican cartel. Those arrested in the police raids included 2 patched filthy few gang members. Officers carried out a number of search warrants at 11 properties throughout the Auckland, Bay of Plenty, and Northland regions. The operation, run by the National Organized Crime Group, has targeted key players of a drug syndicate operating in New Zealand with links to a Mexican cartel. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregonians can renew driver's licenses online starting next week. Real ID pushed to 2023.
Oregon DMV officials have a very important message they say will save you time. Don't go to the DMV. Oregonians who need to renew their driver's licenses will be able to complete the transaction online and have a new ID mailed to them within 10 days or so. In the Seattle Times, at some Seattle area vaccination sites, COVID vaccine supply is outpacing demand. With all Washington adults eligible and 40% of residents having received at least a first dose, vaccine appointments are now seemingly abundant. Time slots previously snagged within seconds are now among thousands open for the taking. Lumen Field, for example, has 8,000 open slots Friday, but just 3,000 people had made an appointment as of Wednesday evening. Officials attribute the slowdown to several factors, including accessibility, ongoing vaccine hesitancy or ambivalence, and, in some cases, a surge in supply that unexpectedly surpassed demand. In the Times Colonist, island leaders upbeat after 2030 Olympics bid session with Furlong. Victoria Mayor Lisa Helps says she is enthusiastic about the potential for the island to be involved in a 2030 Winter Olympics. The concept of a province-wide BC 2030 Winter Olympics bid met with generally positive reviews Wednesday in a video conference meeting that included bid proponent John Furlong and island politicians and business leaders. There has been speculation about 2030 curling being held at Save-On Foods Memorial Center in Victoria and cross-country and Nordic skiing events on Mount Washington. The bid, however, is in the early stages and nothing specific has been decided. And these headlines in the Breaker.News. She said, he said, RCMP accuses Surrey of police poaching. Royal Columbian Hospital escalates pandemic response. And baby makes four? Judge declares infant has three parents. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.news podcast. The man everybody was waiting to hear finally testified at the Cullen Commission.
Mr. Coleman, please hold a Bible in your hand. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
And please state your full name and spell your first name and last name for the record.
Richard Thomas Coleman. My first name is Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D. I go by Rich.
And please also spell your last name.
Sorry. C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Ex-BC Liberal Deputy Premier Rich Coleman testified April 28th to the Cullen Commission on Money Laundering in BC. Like ex-Premier Christy Clark before him, Coleman's testimony was riddled with holes, denials, memory lapses, and even the Hogan's Heroes Sergeant Schultz defense.
Any indication?
I see nothing! I know nothing!
I know nothing! I see nothing!
I know nothing! Nothing!
Coleman came into politics after a seven-year career in the RCMP, plus jobs in security and real estate development. He began representing the Fort Langley and Aldergrove riding in 1996 and became Solicitor General in 2001. He was later Minister of Social Development, Forests, Energy and Mines, LNG, and Housing. But he was most often in charge of gambling and liquor sales and regulation. Coleman, who retired from politics after 24 years in 2020, was a key figure in the transformation of gambling in BC from charity fundraisers to big business, despite Gordon Campbell's 2001 campaign promise to not expand gambling. Even before he kiboshed a squad dedicated to fight gambling corruption, reporters were unearthing stories about loan sharks and money launderers in BC casinos. Whistleblowers in the NDP say Coleman and his ilk did not do enough. Here is Coleman under examination by Commission Counsel Brock Martland.
Was gaming a portfolio that you sought or wanted?
No.
Did that change ever over the different times the ball bounced back at you and the file came back to you? Was it something that you had wanted to have or sought or asked for?
No, I didn't. I didn't seek or ask for it. Basically, it was either sent to you or a cabinet shuffle. It came back into your duties if at the wish of the Premier, but at no time did I, for lack of better description, ask for the file.
Was gaming a file or portfolio that carried with it any benefit to you, whether personally or professionally, in your view?
No.
as I hear you describe it, it seems like there are some periods of time in which gaming follows you along, even to what might seem like an unlikely destination. So, for example, the minister, as Minister for Energy and Mines, is a period of time where you have that responsibility in that role. Appreciating it may not have been your decision or even your preference, do you have a sense of why that happened, why it followed you?
I don't. I think at times it's just a case of what are the circumstances around where the political world is and the operational world of a government is. And you have to remember, I recall for one example, there was a period after Premier Campbell left, there was a leadership campaign. And that required some people who decided to step out of cabinets to be, or things to be moved around. And I think that may have been one of the things that had some effect there. At the same time, after the leadership, some people decided they weren't going to stay or whatever. And that, in that capacity, I think the Premier had to move some things around with people, probably with a bit more experience, given that the new Premier was having to build a cabinet, which was devoid of some of the people that had decided, who had expertise or experience, had decided to move on. And I think at those points in time, they make their decisions however they do it. And usually with your chief of staff or your head of your public service, you would sit down and discuss. And then the assignment is just given to you by order and council, you're informed of it.
Coleman denied that budget pressures led to the end of the Integrated Illegal Gaming Enforcement Team in 2009. BC Lottery Corporation, he said it shouldn't be funding it. Coleman also said it was, quote, not very operational and not being successful, end quote. But the squad's head, Fred Pinnock, had raised the alarm about organized crime infiltrating casinos. In his testimony, Pinnock said Coleman was hostile to those who questioned his authority. Coleman denied squeezing Pinnock's hand hard enough to break it at a 2010 BC Liberal Party fundraiser, and he also denied yelling at Pinnock's partner, MLA Naomi Yamamoto, who brought up dirty money in casinos at a caucus meeting.
I just want to make sure that you have the opportunity here to respond to these things. Do you recall, or do you have something to say about the suggestion that you yelled at Ms. Yamamoto when she tried to raise an issue about suspicious cash at casinos during a Liberal caucus meeting?
I don't yell. I mean, I'm actually a very calm individual, and I cannot recall a situation ever where I would have raised my voice in a caucus meeting in 24 and a half years in public life.
Mr. Pinnock suggests that you turned a blind eye to money laundering in casinos to avoid disrupting an important revenue stream for the government.
That's just ridiculous. There was never, ever that I saw in all the time I was government, a point where somebody said, ignore a revenue stream that could be illegal for the benefit of government. That just did never happen.
And finally, Mr. Pinnock says or suggests that you manipulated senior RCMP members into ignoring money laundering activity in casinos.
Just didn't happen. I had a very professional working relationship with the senior management of the RCMP and every police force in BC whenever I had the portfolio that dealt with them. And there's no way that I would have manipulated them in any way whatsoever.
I'm going to go to the meeting that we touched on earlier, 2010. There's a meeting that takes place at the GPEB Burnaby office that I understand that you were at. At that point in time, you had, I gather, by the time of this meeting, may have reassumed the enforcement side of the portfolio in addition to the policy side of the gaming portfolio. Do you recall that meeting in Burnaby with Larry Vandergraaf, Lori Wanamaker, and yourself?
I do.
Okay. What was the purpose of that meeting from your point of view?
The initial purpose of the meeting was to go by and see the enforcement branch and touch base because of the activity we'd seen, those media and otherwise, coming back to the portfolio in and around large cash transactions. And more importantly, I guess, was to introduce Lori Wanamaker, who was a new deputy to me on this file, to the branch. So we went to see them in their offices and meet staff and have a conversation.
Okay. This is a story by the reporter Chad Skelton in the Vancouver Sun August 12th of 2010. The headline is, and I'll just read a bit from it, "We can't fight casino money laundering," attributed to an RCMP report. It says, "Money laundering by organized crime groups is rampant at Canadian casinos, but police are essentially doing nothing to combat it, according to an internal RCMP report obtained by the Vancouver Sun." Skipping one paragraph, it quotes, I take it quoting from this report, "Anecdotally, police managers have suggested that because of other priorities and a lack of resources, at this time, nothing is being done to investigate these situations." It goes on in the next paragraph to say an RCMP sergeant is quoted saying, "Not a single person has been charged with money laundering at BC's casinos in recent history." At the bottom of that first page, the quote in the report attributed to the report, "Organized crime is prevalent in casinos at several levels." And then over to the next page, if we just go down a little, Madam Registrar, "Those include money laundering and loan sharking, and that casinos provide several opportunities for criminals to make cash earned illegally appear legitimate." Do you recall this report on the front page of the Sun in 2010?
I think I recall, you know, the whole thing is part of the package, so
yeah,
some recollection.
Do you have a memory from, let's pick on the date of this report, in the summer of 2010, do you have a memory about this question of money laundering and dirty money in casinos achieving some prominence in media reporting or in the public discourse?
I think it was becoming more of a reported event, or more of a reported story during that period of time.
The Cullen Commission is expected to finish hearing witnesses in the middle of this month. Commissioner Austin Cullen has until mid-December to report to the NDP cabinet with findings and recommendations.
Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the volunteers who operate neighborhood houses across BC, the community gathering places from daycare to seniors programs. It is Neighborhood House Week in BC until May 8th. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob at thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
So I'm very happy that I'm going to get my Moderna shot today. And I wanted to tell everybody, I think you should get out there and do it too. I even changed one of my songs to fit the occasion. It goes, vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it?
Those are the sounds of country music legend and actress Dolly Parton on Twitter. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 2nd, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on May 2nd in 1986... Expo 86 opened in Vancouver, the World's Fair on Transportation and Communication, World in Motion, World in Touch. Here are some sounds of the fair.
Expo's themes of transportation and communications are fitting and appropriate to this province, which is itself so much larger than the whole of the United Kingdom, and also to Canada, the second largest country in the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, together with my wife, we have the greatest pleasure in declaring Expo 86 officially open.
Set the world in motion. Together we can catch your rising star. We can touch tomorrow.
Expo 86 reported more than 22.1 million turnstile clicks on the False Creek and Canada Place sites. It cost more than $800 million and left a $311 million deficit. The False Creek site was eventually sold in 1988 to Hong Kong tycoon Li Ka-shing for less than $150 million. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to Bob at thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.